Good morning. Sitting in for Bill Lynch, I'm Judy Muller with the CBS World News Roundup. The flood of East German refugees to the West flows unabated as the East German government prepares more liberal travel laws to appease its citizens.
This is Jesse Schulman in East Berlin. East Berlin's main railway station. From here and many others around the country, East Germans are pouring out to the West. Today, the government published the proposed new law intended to give East Germans for the first time the legal right to go where they want. But fine print remains. The proposal is now open for public discussion and for approval by the one-party parliament here before Christmas. It says East Germans can go wherever they want if they apply 30 days beforehand and only stay away for 30 days. Reaction is skeptical. One East Berliner summed it up, "We want the right to travel 365 days a year, not just 30. Opposition sources say it doesn't convince them the government is serious about reforms. Observers say with East Germans already pouring into the West, the new law seems to be out of date before it takes effect. Over the weekend, thousands reached West Germany by way of Czechoslovakia. We have more from correspondent Martha Teichner.
Yesterday's bumper-to-bumper, miles-long buildup of refugee cars at the West German border has cleared. The traffic from East Germany across Czechoslovakia to the West is still largely one way, but it is a trickle now, moving steadily. The refugee exodus has become invisible, just as East Germany's new leader hoped it would. Part of the buildup in Czechoslovakia came as a result of the panic belief that today, when the East German government announced the details of its new travel policy, the door would be shut, that it would once again be impossible to leave. Martha Teichner, CBS News, at the Czechoslovakian border.
Soviet Jews hoping to emigrate to the U.S. are facing tighter restrictions, not from the Soviet Union, but from the U.S. government. Jonathan Sanders reports.
The United States has abruptly closed another exit door for Jews who want to leave the Soviet Union for America. Until today, Jews who left the Soviet Union to find religious freedom could decide in Vienna or Rome that they wanted to go to the U.S. instead of Israel. Without prior warning, American policy changed. In addition to a Soviet exit visa, Jews suddenly had to obtain an Israeli visa before November 6th. From today on, the Vienna-Rome route will begin to close down. And after years of encouraging Soviet Jews to leave the country, the American government has announced it will accept only 50,000 refugees a year from the whole Soviet Union. Jonathan Sanders, CBS News, Moscow.
The world has lost one of its greatest musicians. Vladimir Horowitz, the Russian-born piano virtuoso, died yesterday in New York, apparently of a heart attack at the age of 85. His biographer, Glenn Plaskin.
Horowitz was the greatest pianist of the 20th century, barring none, including Arthur Rubinstein. There was nobody who could surpass him in terms of physical technique, physical endurance, and he often said that he was the Greta Garbo of the piano world because he often would take retirements from the stage that were prompted by nervous breakdowns, but the longer he stayed away from the stage, the more mystique he created.
Some of the greatest praise for Horowitz comes from other pianists, Misha Dichter for one.
The passing of Horowitz is the end of an era. I don't know that there's a serious pianist alive who would say that he was not influenced by the playing of Horowitz. He's the last link we had with the golden age of pianists.
And pianist Andre Watt says there isn't another Horowitz. Thank God for recordings. And at the other end of the musical spectrum,
fighting soldiers from the sky.
The man who co-wrote and sang the Ballad of the Green Berets, Barry Sadler, has died at the age of 49. Sadler's death comes 14 months after he was shot in Guatemala, where he reportedly was training anti-communist contra-rebels.
The brave men of the Green Beret.
Hundreds of sailors are missing in the Gulf of Thailand in the wake of Typhoon Gay, including at least 85 crew members of a capsized American-owned drill ship, the Seacrest. Two of the ship's crewmen were rescued today, while four others were found dead in the wreckage. The typhoon sank at least three large ships and 35 fishing trawlers. This is the final day of campaigning in several major races, including the one for mayor of New York City. Tim Scheld of CBS station WCBS reports.
The battle cry of George Bush to establish a Republican beachhead in this overwhelmingly Democratic town has brought in Democrats from across the nation to campaign for frontrunner David Dinkins. Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell among them.
David Dinkins, a decent, honorable, positive man, has conducted a decent, honorable, positive campaign.
Democrats say Republicans are trying to elect a candidate, former prosecutor Rudolph Giuliani, using a negative strategy orchestrated by former Bush campaign advisor Roger Ailes.
The entire election is revolving around whether or not he has some questions to answer and whether or not he's covering up stocks, financial contributors.
But Dinkins has weathered the storm and is heading into tomorrow's vote with a solid lead. Senator Mitchell says if we win here, it may make other candidates around the country think twice about negative campaigns. Tim Scheld for CBS News, New York.
GOP gubernatorial candidates in Virginia and New Jersey also go into this final campaign day as underdogs. Fred Fishkin of WCBS has the New Jersey story.
Democratic Congressman James Florio lost the closest race for governor in New Jersey history 8 years ago. He goes into tomorrow's election against Congressman James Corder with a seemingly insurmountable 24-point lead in the polls. Florio says it was more than money and organization that put him on top.
I mean, you had the national Republican administration in here. You had the state Republican administration, all guns a-blazing here. And we have had the message.
Corder says the polls are wrong and insists the election tomorrow will be close.
It could go either way. And we're hoping that between now and then, if we get out and talk to enough people, you know, they're going to vote for Jim Corder, who's not going to raise taxes, who's going to solve the problem of automobile insurance.
Perhaps what the campaign will most be remembered for are the negative ads in which one candidate calls the other corrupt, then he is branded a bigot, and they call each other Pinocchio. Fred Fishkin for CBS News, New Jersey.
The Miami Herald is reporting that homicide detectives have linked a man being held on rape charges to the murders of 19 women killed during the last 2 years. The man, 33-year-old Charles Williams, has not been charged in any of the slangs, but police say he is their prime suspect. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 17.42 at 2,612. Volume on the big board, 17 million shares. It's 10 past the hour.